trying to be a little bit more professional before I come into the pulpit instead of fumbling around with the microphone, doing it down there so everybody can't see it. All of those of you that are tuning in from Facebook land, good to see you again. Good to have you with us. All of those that are here, good to see you, and I pray the Lord will bless. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. One of the things that I find in this life is when I get excited about something, I can't wait to tell somebody else about it. And a little bit of a backdrop to this message today is my youngest granddaughter with my son Tony. She just graduated from high school, and I'm pretty proud of her accomplishments. She graduated from high school, and, you know, being one of the top ones in her class. In Colorado, you can get up to 5 years of high school so that you can get your associate's degree paid for. And so she received an associate's degree in biochemistry. She graduated summa cum laude. I was glad to get summa cum laude, but anyway, I was able to get that. She had double honors. She was part of the Honor Society, and the accolades go on and on. And I was very proud of her for that accomplishment. Well, traveling Colorado gives you plenty of time to think about things, and I actually preached a sermon on the way back. And even before I had the first note down, I started talking to the Lord about it. And it all stemmed from the fact that I enjoyed talking to her boyfriend about his relationship with the Lord. And I really believe that as a grandfather, I have a responsibility to make sure that my grandchildren that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are equally yoked with someone of right character. And I love this young man. I didn't mention his name, but it led to the title today of the sermon called Answer to a Young Man. And here's what I thought about. Whenever I get that opportunity, we find that, you know, especially if it's someone that's a little younger than us, or in this case a lot younger, we hope that they respect our age or they respect what we have to say. But the reality is that we find too many times that by the time we reach out to them, they're already older and they're already starting to formulate ideas. Do you realize, and I want you to get this, I want to be very careful how I say this, but we tell our children when they're younger, as they enter into school, we say, you listen to your teacher because they're going to tell you the truth. And, you know, as soon as we bring that moniker on or respect them, the reality is that when they go into the school, the first thing, even at an early age, that they're hit with is evolution. Well, we don't believe in evolution, and, you know, I would really hate it if this church had any leanings towards evolution. We do not believe in devolution. And yet, right off the bat, this young man has already formulated many ideas, has had many college teachers or high school teachers that have given their 2 cents worth, and no doubt there is an argument that is entered into their mind. So I asked this young man, you know, are you enjoying going to church with Kylie? Or, you know, we got around to that conversation. He goes, well, I'm not so much into organized religion. And right at the end of it, I thought, well, that gives me an opportunity to go one direction with it, but he went into another direction. And his statement was, well, we know the Bible was written by men. Stopped. And I don't know how many of you have ever been confronted by that argument, but that is a barefaced lie. The Bible was not written by men. And you're going, wait a minute, I thought it was. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In 2 Peter chapter 1, if we go down to verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Today's message that I want to bring to you is the entirety of the truth that is there. And so when we look at verse 21, the answer is moving upon what they were told to write. I could go into many other passages of Scripture. For instance, one of the things that John on the Isle of Patmos was told, the things that you see, write. And then in another passage, he was told, do not write this. We also told in the book of Daniel, what you see, write. Go away, Daniel, because these things are kept for another time. And the reality is that God controls the writing and the application that goes in. So we're going to begin today and look at the question of when did these things begin to fall apart? And how can we understand what God has to say and have confidence that what we read in the Bible is true? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, I want to thank you today for the blessings that you give to us, and I want to ask you to guide and bless and keep us. Lord, again, we are finding ourselves on the backside of the world. We find so many people that want to criticize what we believe. We have too many people that want to say we believe something that we don't believe, or we practice something that we don't practice. And yet, Lord, if we're going to hold to the truth, we must hold to the entirety of the truth. Lord, it's not because we want to belittle others. Others can do what they please. But Lord, we have a responsibility. We have a desire to preach not only the truth, but the fullness of that truth, and preach it in its entirety. So guide us, dear Father, and lead us that we may watch over the things that you have given us, and that you will guide and bless and direct. Again, Father, we thank you for your time with us today, and we pray that everything that we say and do will ultimately be for your honor and glory. For it's in Christ we pray, and amen. In the first service, one of the things that I made a comment on was, how many have we ever had someone say, well, this is what you believe, when in truth, we don't believe anything about it? Reality is that it is easy to build up a straw man and say, this is who you are, and to tear that straw man down. And that's where we are finding ourselves today. Anything that we say is ultimately going to be criticized. And so that criticism comes when we build up a straw man, and then we say, well, now they believe this, they believe this, they believe this, they believe that. But at no time does anyone ever come and ask me what I believe. It's easy enough to build up a straw man and pick up things. The same thing holds true around the Word of God. Well, you know, those of you that hold to the King James Bible, you're not really preaching from the more accepted materials. And I tell people, so what goes into the accepted? You know, I'm a student. Now, I'm a teacher, but I'm also a student. Tell me, what goes into the accepted? Well, we have the most popular, influential individuals that are taking the materials, and they're going back and they're finding the Sinaiticus A and the Sinaiticus B, and they grab this and they grab that and they grab another, and they're assimilating it all together. And I'll ask them this question. Well, what about the Textus Receptus? Oh, we're not using that. Well, why did you discard the Textus Receptus? Well, we don't believe that it is true in its entirety. And what's funny, the other name that goes with the Textus Receptus is called the Byzantine Text. Anyone here know what Byzantine is? It refers to all of Asia Minor. It refers to Greek. It refers to Rome. It refers to that northern part of what we would call the Mediterranean region, where the first churches were established. And yet we found that there were 5,255 copies of the Textus Receptus, and people were hand-making notes. What's funny is, many years ago when I was rebuilding a house in Ohio, one of the things I was doing, I was taking down this horsehair plaster which had fallen from the ceiling. I kept yanking it down, yanking it down, yanking it down. And when it finally came down, all these papers came down. Some of them were old papers from a judge's rulings and things like that. And I thought, man, these things are historical. But the one that really amazed me was these were written back in the early 1800s, or about middle, I should say, probably 1830, 1850 time frame. And so when I looked at these were Greek lessons that were being applied to the congregation. They were sitting down and they were breaking down Greek words and showing how that the King James Bible was right on it. I thought, man, that's amazing things. Do you realize that before the Bible was ever in the hands of men as freely as we have it today, that they would sit down and they would look at the Word of God and they would look at the Greek and see what it says, and that's why they applied it. The first attacks, which was really Westcott and Hort that goes all the way back to the Revised Standard Bible, was not introduced till the 1800s, and it was promoted by another Baptist church, which no longer exists, in Kentucky. Why didn't it happen? Because all the people that stood for the truth were trying to present us a lie. We are living in a time where churches are even confused over what the truth is. And so for that reason, I found it was necessary to go back in and to try to answer the questions that this young man had, but mainly over what we find in what does God have to say. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to the book of Genesis, and let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. I do appreciate Brother Ken Ham, who has done Answers in Genesis and the Ark Encounter and everything that we find that is there. And everything that you look at it, he pointed this out many years ago. He said, if you can understand the first 10 chapters, and I moved it to 12, but he said, if you can understand the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis, you can understand everything. And he's right. And then the reality is, there is something that I want to show you the order. Let's go down to Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, I want you to get this. Who did the Lord give this command to? Did he give it to Adam and Eve, or did he only give it to Adam? Well, it says in verse 16, he commanded the man. Because of the way that it is written, there was only one person in existence, the man. Now, the reality is, when we go back on down, we can find that when they joined them together, they were called Adam because they were joined into one flesh. And at that point, we do see that they became one person. But all the way up in verse 16, the message was given just to Adam. Now, here's what's interesting, and Greg and I were talking about this, and you know, how many of you have ever been in a court before? And in fact, there's one right now that, and I wouldn't recommend that you see it, but if you want to go for it, go for it. There is a popular actor who is going through a pretty severe divorce, and they have this stenographer that is sitting there and typing down everything that is being said. I don't know if you've ever looked at stenography equipment in, you know, presently, but it doesn't give out complete sentences. It's not a typewriter. It just really allows the stenographer to write things, and then they will take what they have heard and give a proper transcript based upon the quick interactions that goes with the stenography print. Well, I want you to get this. The account that we read in the Bible was given of God, and it was given to the man. Now, why did I bring up the stenographer? The stenographer is only going to write what they have been told to write because somebody else said it. If they embellish, if they do anything else, they have corrupted the script. When God said to Adam, of all the trees of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, did you notice in verse 17 the Lord didn't say, if you eat of that tree, but when you eat of that tree, for in the day that thou eatest of the tree thou shalt surely die. Reality is that the Lord knew, the Lord God knew that they were going to fall. He knew that they were going to fall into sin and they're going to eat of that tree. So the reality is that when you have this that has been given over to Adam, Adam alone is the person that is responsible to give an answer for what was given him. We're living in a time, first of all, where even as I begin to study, when I preach, whenever I do things, I need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide my thinking, to guide my path, to guide everything that I do. I am handling the very Word of God. I believe that. And in fact, whenever you go back in and you study how that this King James Bible was put together, there was a desire to do an extant copy. In other words, it is very difficult to take an existing language, and remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Koine Greek. It is difficult to take it from an older language and put it into a more modern language. For instance, we say the word love. Do we really understand what the word love is? And I can go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in place of the word love, which is agape, they have translated it into the word charity. Understanding that charity was a part of love, or it is a part of, that we need to look at. And so we find the long-suffering, we find that it doesn't bear false witness, all of these things that are part of love. If I was to transfer, or if I was to go back and take that original Koine Greek and put it in Spanish, which I'm not qualified to do, I would find that there would be a completely different way that they would write it, because the extant copy would go from an old manuscript into a more modern language. Everybody understand? Nod your heads up and down if you got it. Oh, I haven't seen you. Never mind. But the reality is, we have an Old Testament Hebrew language that is before us. This is the Hebrew. And notice what it says, that when we are given the command, it is like the stenographer recording this, because it is literally God speaking to Adam, and Adam having the responsibility to carry on the message. No one else. Got it? So when he says, look, Adam, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, but not that one. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, I bring that up because the fact of the matter is, there is a chronological event that occurred. And notice in verse 18, it says that, again, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. It does not say man is lonely. It says it's not good for him to be alone. Why? Because man cannot procreate. He cannot continue to fill the requirements of God upon the land. And it says, I will make for him a helpmeet. Is there any question on that? Not now. And out of the ground, what do we see? The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Here's something else that's interesting. In verse 18, God did not say this to Adam. He said it to himself, or to the Trinity. In verse 19, we don't see any words where God said, Adam, what are you going to name them? We see that God just brought the animals, and Adam knew what was there. There is a difference between the verbal speaking of the Lord and the inspiration of the Lord upon an individual. When I take a look at the Word of God, everything that is written was inspired and given to holy men. Now, again, I want you to listen to the argument. The argument that is there is that this was written by men. It wasn't. It was written by holy men. And they were being led by the Holy Spirit to put these things down. Do we see every chronological event that occurred during that day? And the answer is no. We don't see every chronological event. Go read anything in the Bible and you're not going to see a day-to-day activity of what goes in. God said, put this in the Word. Put this one in the Word. Put this one in the Word. We don't know every battle that David went into. We don't know how his boring days were being spent when he watched over the sheep. We don't know how many psalms he wrote. But I got news for you. He didn't write all the psalms that are written. But he collected the psalms that I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit said, that psalm belongs to this book. Everybody get it? And so as all of this was being brought in, it was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to say, incorporate these things into a book that will benefit others. This is my word. And notice verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle of the, and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God called the first anesthesia. that I sometimes like to put little things like that into my questions. The first anesthesia, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Once again, I don't see any conversation that goes on between the Lord God and Adam. But then, in verse 22, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. It was Adam that gave the name to Eve, or to the first woman. Later on in Genesis chapter 3, and he called her Eve because she is the mother of all living. That was given by Adam. That was not given by the Lord God. And in verse 24 it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This was supported and made evident to us in Ephesians chapter 5, when once again the Apostle Paul would write it to the Ephesian church. And notice again, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now, why do I bring all this up? Because this is an order that was given to Moses to write down, but it didn't happen till after the flood, after Abraham, and all the way up until the captivity in the land of Egypt. That's when these things were written. Everybody get this? Let's be honest. We don't know all of this, but here's something that's amazing. They lived thousands of years, and they were instructed in the glory of God. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. There was an interesting book that was written by Dr. D. James Kennedy, and he was a Presbyterian preacher. And one of the things he pointed out, it was called The Message in the Constellations. How many of you all have ever noticed that if you were born in the later part of August, into September, you were called Virgo? That's me, by the way. And those that were born in Virgo are called the Virgin. But how many of you all know that the constellation says the Virgin shall have a son? How many of you know that? It's there in the constellation. And I believe that as they saw the stars and as they were coming around, there was a message that needed to be preached and told them about things that were going to come. Not only that, they were instructed, and imagine 1,000 years of memory and application. I've had people come up to me and they say, Brother Prater, how is it that you know so much about the Word of God? You know, I have been blessed that over a period of about 40 years, I have devoted myself to the study of the Word of God. Imagine how powerful it could be if I was allowed for hundreds of years to study the Word of God and have the energy to do it. You know, the reality is that going beyond this, they instructed the things of God and they enjoyed the things of God. But all along the and it says, and the thoughts of men were on the evil continually. And in fact, one of the things that we are pointed out to in Matthew, it says that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is that the thoughts of men are going to be evil continually. How do we know that? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we not living in that time right now? I remember when I went to school that divorce was already hated. And we were looking at a 5% divorce rate in our country. 5% divorce rate. And quite literally, the one person that was divorced so many times and everybody was marking it down and pointing out that person was Elizabeth Taylor. Because she was going through men quicker than anybody else, I guess, at that time. But the reality is that people were along. Are ending in divorce. Are we not living in the times as of Noah? Does it not say in Matthew chapter 25 that there will be marriage and giving in marriage? Basically, that giving in has a double meaning. It means it's not only giving up on marriage, but it also means that there is going to be a corruption of marriage. So when I go back to this, we see all of these messages are intertwined to each other, but I bring it also into this point. I have a responsibility to teach the truth and not shy from it. And part of that truth is God gave the message to a man to preach the Word of God. He didn't give it to a woman. You go over to chapter 3 and it says, if a man desires the office of the bishop. Now this is not my requirement, this is God's requirement. God's requirement says, this is how I want to serve. I can go on and on and on, and I hear all these criticisms. One of the first things I want to ask is, where are you getting this? Now, I'm not saying that a woman can't teach. I'm not saying that a woman can't be a witness. I cannot say anything against women's abilities when it comes to the congregation, but she is refused to be able to speak out in the proper congregation, and she is refused to be a pastor. Now, if you've got problems with that, you can talk to me afterwards. I'm sure that people now email us for the first time, Brother Joe. But the reality is, we have to follow God's plan, not our plan. Now that comes into place as we look at Genesis chapter 3. Because now Adam knows, and Adam has a responsibility to instruct his wife in the proper areas. Look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman. Notice that the serpent did not approach the man. Why? Because the man had already received the word of God. He heard it himself. And everybody get this? Once again, the stenographer has typed out exactly what the person that was on the stand had to say. What the law questions were. But the message now goes back to the woman, and we can blame the woman all we want, but it's not where we're going with this message. The reality is, the serpent looks at her and asks this question, yea, hath God... And that's where he's going to focus on. And once again, what does the woman say? Well, yeah, we're allowed to eat that. But notice how she says it. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, of the trees of the garden. But she finishes this statement. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, which is called good and evil, God has said, you shall not eat of it, you shall be tempted to die. Well, how do I know that Adam told her that? Number one, she got it almost right. But there was this one part, I can almost see Adam said, don't! Sometimes, men, we get to a place where we think that our wives can't figure things out for themselves. God had said, and by the way, the responsibility was not what Adam had to say, but he was the mouthpiece of God when he said, God. Now, here's the thing. And just like a good lawyer or good liar, whichever way you want to go with it, they are going to bring in the question what God said and what was transferred by Adam. Anyone ever been on the witness stand before? Maybe as a character witness or whatever? And that lawyer's job is to try to prove you a liar. I was called, there's been a couple of times I've been called to the witness stand. And in my mind, you know, my integrity is going to shine out. Everyone's going to be happy. But that lawyer will find any excuse in any way to make a liar out of you. I had a lawyer ask me a question one time, and I answered him. And he goes, well, that seems kind of strange. How did this happen? And I said, I don't know. You're lying, aren't you? I said, no, I don't know. I said, a lot of water's passing under the bridge. I don't remember. Well, why don't you remember? And then he looked at the judge and said, I'd like to treat him as a hostile witness. And I looked at the judge and I said, Judge, if I can't remember, how am I supposed to be hostile? And she looked at the attorney and said, he's not being hostile. The reality is that Satan will do everything in his power to bring into question the things that you say. And don't be surprised when you go out into the community that people make the same statement. Remember what I said of my granddaughter's boyfriend? Well, we know. This morning as I was going over to Greg's house, I went over there and I saw his cattle all around the garden area. And I thought, man, those cattle are going to get into the garden. And then I remember there's a little boundary around it. And they were all around that boundary, but they weren't in the garden. God didn't put a boundary around the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he did put around the tree of life a boundary. Because he didn't want us to follow in that same footstep, did he? He didn't want us to be evil continually. So the serpent, once he gets the things to where he's going to answer, and the serpent said, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day thou eat thereof, then that your eyes will shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let me just point this out to you. They knew the name of the tree. Did they not know it? What did God say to Adam? The name of the tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If God wanted Adam to know what evil was about, he could have let him know at that particular moment. But there are some things that God does not want us to know. You know, it's like this, is that even in the book of Daniel, what did we find in the book of Daniel? Towards the very end, God said to Daniel, seal it! But the information has not been released yet. There is some things that God does not want us to know, and we as human beings are going, well, God's holding out on me. No! And they're reaching up and they're trying to grab a hot burner, how many of us would slap their hand or tell them no? God's already given the warning. But what happened? That's all it took to convince the woman to eat of the fruit. I don't know how much more transpired. Neither do you. I don't know what other discussions. But what I do know, and is recorded for us, is in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I had no doubt that she ate it. She went, wow, this is delicious. I don't know what the tree was. I don't believe it was an apple. I lean more towards grapes, but you can ask me about that a little bit later. But the reality is that it was delicious. But the reality that I see in this is that what Satan said to her, when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened. Could it be, and I'm just going to throw this out here, that her eyes were already opened to what it was doing to her? And she ate of the fruit. What did she do? She brought the fruit to her husband, and now came the decision. We are all faced with a decision. Do we keep our mouth quiet, or do we speak the truth? It's easy to keep our mouth quiet and follow along with the crowd. But I think with Adam, it was even more than that. I know the command of God. and I know the love of this woman. Which way am I going? And there was a conscious decision on Adam's part to eat of the fruit. How do I know that? Because it says in Timothy, the woman was deceived, not the man. Doesn't that scare us? Shouldn't that scare us? We are now confronted in this world by the things that we know are not right. How are we going to respond to it? I can keep my mouth quiet. I cannot say a word, and everything will continue on, no doubt about it. But if I partake of the sin, then that sin is going to follow me all the rest of my life. And here we find that she brought it to her husband, and when the woman saw that the food was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, see, her eyes are open, and a tree to be desired, oh, I want to know more evil. I want to know more about this evil. I want to know more what God is holding out on me. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. What was the outcome? The truth. Deep down, they both died spiritually. Verse 7, and the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Didn't have that problem beforehand, did we? Why do we wear clothes? Well, number one, I'm glad I do. If you all saw the ripples and the bulges and things like that, you'd sit there and say, praise God for clothes. But we cover the nakedness that we don't want people to see. The shame. We don't want people to see our shame. And even if we were to join a nudist colony or anything else, there would still be the shame. And the reality is that their eyes were open, they saw their condition, and immediately they hid from God. Isn't it interesting? When there is truth, we want to be with God. Ask David. Man, David enjoyed the presence of God. He talked to God freely, but then he fell with Bathsheba. Quiet. I don't want God to see me. And soon as David had his sin exposed, what did he do? He ran back to God, fell on his face before God and said, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Sin will be whispered in your ear, God doesn't want you anymore. God said, come unto me, all ye are labored and have heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the differences in the Scripture. And the beauty of what we see is that God came to Adam and he came to the woman and he said, where are you? Isn't it funny or ironic that God in the beginning could say, Adam, look at all the things I've done for you. I've given you the animals. I've given you the trees of the garden. I've given you this. I've given you that. I've made sure that you're taken care of. And now I'm going to give you the greatest delight, and that's going to be a woman. After God gave Adam these things, now he comes before Adam, who has fallen into sin, and he goes, Adam! Just like the prodigal, Adam had run away and tried to hide himself away, hiding behind fig leaves. And when they came out, verse 10 said, I heard thy voice, and I was afraid. Never had any fear before. Let me ask you, how many of you are afraid of the coming of the Lord? I talked to someone not too long ago, and they said, you know, it's kind of scary that the Lord's going to come back. I said, why? How many of you are afraid of death? I think to some extent we're all afraid of death. But if we truly know Jesus and he calls us at the point of death, shouldn't it be a welcome relief? If I know Jesus, I get to go be with him. What did David say? about the son that had passed. I can't return. He can't return to me, but I shall go to him. I'll go be with the Father. I'll go be with Jesus. You know, and the older I get, the more that's waiting for me on the other side. And there's my family that have all said that they believed in Jesus and they have trusted him for their salvation. But the most glorious thing for me, I'm going to look for Jesus. And I'm not going to come in boldly. I'm going to hit my knees. You say, how do you know that, Brother Prater? Because when I see him in his glory, I won't be able to stand. And it will be him that will lift me up. And he'll say, child, Michael? Yeah. Don't call me Mike, man. Don't call me Mike. Call me Michael. I want to hear it that way. I got a great name. You know that, Greg? I got a great name. Charles Michael, manly unto the God, unto the Lord. I love that name. Prater can't quit talking. Michael, my son, welcome home. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more difficulty. The reality is that as I take a look at these young men and I deal with all the things that are there, I want to be truthful to them. And here's the reason why. My last verse, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 22, and I want you to hear what the book of Revelation has to say. The responsibility for full exposure, the responsibility for full answer is found in chapter 22. And notice what it says. In verse 17, and it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Do you realize we're there? Who is the bride? Holy men and women that have been called of God. And what do we say? Come! That heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, salvation. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add, you know what scares me about the message that's being delivered in this world today? People are adding their own little slant. People are saying, oh, hell's not eternal. But according to God, it is. It's eternal. If hell is not eternal, how can we say heaven is eternal? Everybody follow me? How can we say the new earth is eternal? Because that which is eternal is eternal. And if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, the rewards, the things that could be of a benefit, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. You know, my friends, we have a grave responsibility. We need to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And those of you that are listening in online, if you want to know more about Jesus, you can call me at any time. If you have any questions, just text Joe in the back at Facebook and we'll be glad to answer it. But more than anything, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rejoice. If you don't know him, we'll tell you more about him. May the Lord bless. Father, again, thank you for this time that we've had together. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless the message as it was delivered today. Lord, I want to thank you, and I pray for this young man, and I pray that you would open his eyes, and may he know Jesus Christ truly as his Lord and Savior. We have so many in this world that says, I know there's a higher power, but they don't know that it's Jesus Christ. They don't know God eternal. They don't know the working of the Holy Spirit. They are unwilling to know about the Trinity. So, Lord, let the people know that there is an answer, and that true answer is found in the very word that you left with us. Lord, help us to dispel the falsehood that this is a book that was written by men, but it is a book that was written by holy men as they were inspired by God to do so. And Lord, let us take this holy word and tell others about Jesus and all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name that we now pray, and amen. Brother Greg.